KDK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. A standing ovation for President Trump in the Israeli parliament shortly after all 20 living hostages returned to Israel. Speaker of the Knesset, Amir Ohana, said he's nominating the president for the Nobel Peace Prize.
President Trump, you are the president of peace. There was not a single person on this planet who did more than you to advance peace.
And two buses of Palestinian prisoners have left an Israeli prison under the terms of the first phase of the peace agreement. President Trump will co-chair a peace summit later today in Egypt with other world leaders focusing on a long-term peace in the region. ABC contributor Steve Ganyard, a former defense official, says,
what happens next is really the question that's for the broader international community. Who's going to come in and be the international security force? Who's going to lead it?
This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to take advantage of all of the upcoming fall activities scheduled at state park properties across the state. According to a press release, state parks will host events like wagon rides, candlelight hikes, campfires, and more throughout October and November. Officials are also looking for residents interested in volunteering to help with the events. A full list of scheduled events at parks across the state and information on volunteering can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is warning residents about a tax refund text scam. According to agency officials, residents have reported receiving a text claiming that their tax refund request has been processed and approved over recent weeks. The text claims that the potential victim needs to provide their bank account information to receive the tax refund and that the refund will be forfeited if they don't provide that information. Officials say the Department of Revenue does not send unsolicited text messages requesting personal information. A Birchwood man is facing multiple felony arson charges in connection to a string of fires in Sawyer County last year. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, 30-year-old Thomas Olson has been arrested in connection to the fires following a nearly year-long investigation. He's accused of intentionally setting six fires at various businesses and residences in the Sawyer County area last November. While Olson is now in custody, Sawyer County Sheriff's Office officials say the investigation into the alleged arson incidents is still ongoing. Barron Electric Cooperative officials say they've contributed $1,000 to Nature's Edge Therapy Center for matching grant funding. The Rice Lake Community Health Foundation recently approved the center for up to $60,000 in matching grant funding to maintain their services. The funding for the donations came from unclaimed cashback credits from former members through the Federated Youth Foundation, which has specific rules about how the cashback credits can be used, so the cooperative could not put them towards reducing utility rates. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the National League Championship Series. Game one is tonight in Milwaukee. The first pitch at 7:08. Game two tomorrow night. Then they play games 3, 4, and 5 if needed in L.A. in a best-of-7 series to determine who goes to the World Series. NFL, the Packers held on to beat the Bengals 27-18 in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
A lot of these games are going down to the wire. You got to give Cincinnati a ton of credit for what they were able to do, specifically offensively the second half.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 127-121. Doc Rivers likes what he saw from Giannis and their new players.
What we have is more guys getting downhill. Scoot's getting downhill a lot. Cole is getting downhill a lot. Kuz is getting downhill a lot. And Giannis gets downhill. Last year we had Giannis. So even though we led the league in percentage, we just couldn't create enough of them.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain tonight, a low around 49. For Monday, sunshine, highs around 63. On Tuesday, chance of rain and a high around 57. Showers continue into Tuesday night and lows in the low 40s. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high around 60.
Right now, it's 49.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. It is 6:06. Good morning. It's a Monday morning, October 13th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us on Facebook, YouTube, podcast, website, however you got here. We appreciate you getting your work week started right here. I got a question for you. Can you believe it is October 13th and we are still talking Brewers baseball? Yeah, because the Brewers beat the Cubs and eliminated them and their manager, Craig Counsell, from the postseason, and move on to play for the National League pennant. The League Championship Series starts tonight at American Family Field. I am wearing my Father's Day gift from one of my daughters, one of those Brewers Hawaiian shirts, and producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2, resplendent in his old school Milwaukee t-shirt with the glove logo. You don't see the wheat logo much anymore. It's pretty much all glove everywhere. Oh, yeah. Mr. Olson, it's a great morning to be a Brewers fan.
It is a very great day to be a Brewers fan. It is hopefully a very good week to be a Brewers fan, Pat. I have a little stat for you here.
A stat?
A stat. Okay. The Brewers are 6-0 against the Dodgers this season.
That's right. Yes.
I'm not saying, but I'm suggesting.
I'm just saying, you know. There's some who are saying, because you know the old saying is Bucks and six, and they're saying Brewers and six.
Oh yeah,
which I appreciate the sentiment, but why not Brewers and four? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Let's just go ahead and start with the highest of expectations.
Let's get crazy.
Why not? Because let's face it. After game four against the Cubs, we were all mildly panic stricken.
Yeah.
You know, about what game five would be like, and then game five turned out to be pretty okay, pretty okie dokie,
pretty good.
Pretty good, pretty good. And now we've got some corners of baseball world unhappy with the Brewers, hating on the Brewers, because during the team photo at the end, pitcher Trevor Megill grabbed one of the Fly the L flags and held up the L flag up high over the team for one of the photos. And people are going, oh, that's just like no class. Oh, that's just... Do you not know the history of the Chicago Cubs?
By corner of baseball fans, you mean Chicago Cubs fans.
Not even all. There are Cubs fans who are like, I'm a Cubs fan. I get it. We would have done the same to them.
I've only seen Cubs complaining about it, though. I haven't seen regular people complain.
You know, the people who like would back the Dodgers or the Mets or things, because, you know, they're expecting that, oh, Midwesterners would never, you know, rub it in. Again, have you met the Cubs? So this felt good. Yes, I've stated plenty of times my feelings about this are only amplified by Craig Counsell's decision to stab his team in his hometown in the back. So this has been, that was an especially good game, and especially when it was all on home runs, which was really felt nice.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I kind of cheated a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I didn't mean to.
Uh-oh.
But this is a story of technology.
Did you use black magic?
No, maybe not. But see, on my phone, yeah. I get, you know, you can get score updates.
Oh.
And on my lock screen, you get these score updates. Well, it turns out that my phone was about either 10 seconds ahead of the TV.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The TV through the cable system was about 10 seconds behind real time.
Yep.
And the phone will beep if there's a score update in something that I'm following.
Yeah.
And so for each time, Andrew Vaughn, William Contreras, Bryce Terang, they're all up. My phone beeps. Bing! I kind of look out the corner of my eye and I say to Sherry, look at this. And then pop, and it goes over and I'm like, yes. I mean, the first time I probably looked psychic, the second time quizzical, and the third time I looked like an idiot. But it felt so good each time, except for the one time it beeped.
And it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It was tracking another Iowa touchdown against the Badgers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, you can get off my phone right now. And I did. I deleted that so fast off my lock screen after that, because there was a Brewer hitter up, I forget who. And I hear the beep and I'm like, oh. And there wasn't a home run. And I looked down at the lock screen. And it's like, you know, Iowa scoops up a fumble or whatever. I'm just like, you're done, Badgers. You're just done.
You're dead to me. You cannot dupe me like that.
It's not that they're dead to me. They're just dead.
That's
losing
also
to Iowa 37 to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't.
What's 37 might not be the over under on next weekend's game against Ohio State. In fact, I don't do betting, and I'm not.
Last I saw, I thought it was like 20. I don't remember if that was pre or post Iowa.
Now I'm going to look. Let's see. Yeah. 28.5, 28 and a half point favorites.
That's ridiculous.
They are four touchdown favorites over the Badgers. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
And honestly, anybody who bets the under, no, stop it. Oh, wow.
Hey,
so that was the story of getting the Badger score updates off my phone while I was trying to enjoy the Brewers game. And let's talk pitching here, because Trevor McGill started, which was unusual. But again, Pat Murphy, genius. You get the kind of the yips out of the way instead of Jacob Mizrowski starting.
Needed a good first inning.
Yep. Had a good. And then, you know, again, that was my most nervous was watching Mizrowski. He especially when he gave up the one home run. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't what it is, because let's remember last year in the wild card series.
Yep.
You know, the Brewers were in a position to clinch. They were up two runs in the ninth inning, and Devin Williams allowed four runs in the final inning, including a 3-run home run by Pete Alonso.
That's what I was thinking about when Uribe came up.
Yeah. I make you relive all this just because it was in our minds when Mizrowski was on the mound, and then when Abner Uribe was asked to get a 2-inning save, 6 outs. And Sherry again is hearing me going, okay, we got 6 outs to go. Okay, we got 5 outs to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got 4 outs to go. I mean, I was just trying to each one of these to happen, because I am very much an Abner Uribe fan.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like Devin Williams last year, you can have those moments where you implode. Mm-hmm. But he did not. He got the final 6 outs. And so the Brewers are in the postseason, advancing for the first time, winning a division series since 2018, when they then went on to face the Dodgers to go for the National League pennant. And they lost in a heartbreaking Game 7, but not this time. We've exercised the demons from the Cubs. Now we're doing it on the Dodgers. This is the vengeance tour.
Crew in six. Let's go. Come on.
There you go. So that takes us to the National League Championship Series. It begins tonight at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. The American League Championship Series is already underway. Seattle beat Toronto last night 3-1. And so they will play Game 2 this afternoon at 4:00 ahead of the National League Championship Series Game 1, Brewers Dodgers at 7:00. Now the schedule sets up like this. It's today and tomorrow night at home for the Brewers against the Dodgers. Then Wednesday is the travel day. And then they're at Dodger Stadium Thursday, Friday, and if necessary on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday, and then a travel day Sunday. And so if they need a game 6 and 7 back here in Milwaukee, it would be next Monday and Tuesday. So Monday, Tuesday this week, Monday, Tuesday next week at American Family Field. But we won't need that. We won't even need to come back to Milwaukee. But if we do, again,
not until the World Series.
We've got that home field advantage, which would be a big help in game 6 and 7. So that's kind of how it all sets up. Tony says, I was really nervous of who they would bring in if Uribe blew it. Yeah, me too. I figured it would be
Koenig. It would have been Koenig.
Yeah,
it would have been fine.
Something would have been something. Oh, by the way, the Packers played. Usually we're all in Packer gear at this point, you know, and the Packer game was fine. It was fine. It was a win. It was definitely not what you would call a sexy game, but no. You know, it was a good old fashioned victory. Josh Jacobs running for 2 touchdowns, Tucker Kraft barreling his way into the end zone for a TD reception. I really am liking Tucker Kraft. I mean, we don't always have a great classic tight end. So when we do, you know, a guy that can either catch or block, that's nice. And the Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. Josh Jacobs, not feeling his best. He had the flu. Said he threw up a couple of times during the game. Still managed to carry the ball 18 times, 93 yards. He told his coaches the last time he felt this way, he had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. So apparently Josh Jacobs needs to play sick as a dog.
He's at his best in flu games. Cool. That's good to know.
Sure. Why not? Jordan Love, 19 of 26 for 259 yards. He had the 19-yard touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft and 1 interception. And it's not dominant, but it gets the job done. Tony writes on YouTube, the Packer game felt like the Browns game at first, where the Packers were better, but they weren't pulling the game away. Yep. Yes, I definitely saw that in the comments on social media. People still feel like Matt LaFleur is not, like he's holding them back. I don't know that I necessarily get that impression. I see Jordan Love going deep a lot, but it definitely didn't feel like a rhythm, I guess. I guess that'd be fair to say.
No, it's really odd. It's been a while since I've felt really good about, mm-hmm. like, consecutive Packer wins. Like, the wins against the Lions to start the year was really good. I don't remember who we beat. I think the Commanders the next week.
Yes.
Those were 2 really good wins back to back. But prior to that, I don't remember feeling awesome after a Packer win for a little while.
It hasn't. And all I'll say in consolation to that is, look, if you're going to feel that way, better closer to the end of the season, I guess. This is a rare home game here. You had the bye week. You had the other road games. Now we're on the road to Arizona next week and to Pittsburgh the week after that. So this was the only October home game for the Packers, and then they won't be home again until November 2nd. But again, they will take on Arizona next Sunday. It is again a 3:25 game. So again, coverage will begin at 1:00 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you think I'm being a little too tough on the Badgers and you do want to hear a little Badger football against Ohio State next Saturday, coverage begins at 12:30.
Why would you
listen? On some of the stations across the Civic Media
Network.
Why
would you do that to yourself?
The Badger women's volleyball team, they got swept on Friday at Penn State, the 7th-ranked Badgers losing to the 19th-ranked Nittany Lions in straight sets on the road Friday. So they took it out yesterday on Maryland and beat up Maryland in straight sets, and they will next play at home Friday night at the Fieldhouse against UCLA. So,
and a sweep for Badger women's hockey against Minnesota Duluth.
I did not even know that they were going already.
Yes, they are. Hockey. They had an incredible win on a Friday, I think. They were down a goal and they scored with like 20.8 seconds left to tie, okay. And then scored to win with like 8 seconds left.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got plenty of sports action to follow. starting first and foremost with the Brewers. You don't see any other gear that we're wearing today. This is how we roll, at least for this week, hopefully. There's other things going on in the world, and we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program and go over some of the headlines. And Dr. Kristen Lierley is along before too much longer. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's what's coming up this morning here on the program. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be along to talk about a new package of bills supporting higher education in Wisconsin, which to many of us sounds like a no-brainer, but is not for certain parts of our legislature. And so she's going to unveil what she's got proposed and the difference between what others in the legislature would be doing for colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley. She'll join us, I should say, for today's history lesson coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. And then after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the government shutdown and how President Trump made his latest move related to the shutdown, firing like 1,000 people at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because nothing says running a government capably than letting go the people who respond to Ebola and measles outbreaks and other things. So Dr. Lierley will have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to a Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, of course, about the Brewers and the Packers. We'll be joined by our Civic Media friends, John and Gordy from Madison, Jane Matinere, whose program follows ours at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're saying, Pat, please stop, that is too much, I cannot handle all of that, I can't stick around, then pod the program. Get over to Spotify or Apple, follow the show there, and listen on demand. You can even, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could fast forward. You could listen at, you know, 1.5 or double speed to get through it quicker. But that's one way to do it, is get over to Spotify and follow us that way. Or watch us later on Facebook or YouTube, and that certain stop as you like. But those are some of the things we're coming up for you yet this morning. Yesterday came our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Sunday newsletter from the folks at Up North News and Courier Newsroom, and it includes our question of the week. Our question of the week this week deals with mining, metallic mining for things like, you know, gold, copper, zinc, and other, you know, other elements that we know are up there. We've always known they're up there to some degree. The question is whether it's worth the price to dig the mines. I mean, even the test drilling that was recently done up north had some issues, like sediment that washed away into a wetland and a borehole that was left open, which could allow for cross-contamination of aquifers. But there are others who say, you know, once they start mining, they're going to do it responsibly. So do you agree? I ask in the newsletter, where are you on mining? Is it, you know, no way, not ever, don't need it, not worth it? Is it, I'm open to the idea as long as there are really good regulations and protections? Or option C was drill, baby, drill, that the mining companies can police themselves. So what do you think of that? And you can send us a response by responding to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony asks on YouTube, Dr. Lyerly talked to Chris Matthews. Yes, the former Hardball host. I saw that she'd posted a video being interviewed by Chris Matthews for his program. Tony also asks about the if you listen by podcast instead of speeding it up, can I slow it down to enjoy it for 4 hours? Yes, Tony, you can. But I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So again, thank you. And you can put your own comments in there as well in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. On the subject of, you know, regulations for things like mining and other environmental regulations, I haven't given this talk for a while, but I'm going to give it again because there's a package of bills put forth by Republicans in the legislature that went through the next step in the committee process. On its road to nowhere, this package of bills is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it ever gets to his desk, but Republicans are always looking to make some kind of a statement by working on these things that are going nowhere anyway. And this new package of bills is all about attacking those pesky government regulations. We hear about regulations all the time. The headline for this Wisconsin Public Radio article, lawmakers debate GOP bills designed to cut back on state regulations and deregulation and overregulation. So here's the talk I haven't given for a while. When you hear regulations, when you hear deregulations, anything about regulations, take out the word regulations, put in the word protections. Because by and large, that's what those are. They're protecting something. They're either protecting the environment, or they're protecting you as a consumer, or they're protecting you as an employee. Now, I'm not here to say that every regulation is perfect and that every regulation has to stay on the books. The trick to being a lawmaker, as I discovered firsthand, is basically eternal vigilance. Always being aware that some regulation isn't living up to what its authors promised. It needs to be modified, or it needs to be removed. It needs adjustments. But to erase regulations for the sake of erasing regulations is really just attacking protections. In other words, you're doing the bidding of some business or some group that wants to remove those protections so that they can, for example, drill as much as they want and not have to worry about those pesky regulations about groundwater contamination or the regulations on things like, you know, child labor, because there are people that want to address the labor shortage in this country, not by fixing immigration, but by letting more 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds do job duties that we passed child labor laws a century ago to deal with so that our kids would not be facing those kinds of troubles. But people say, oh, it's those pesky regulations. And so these bills are making their way through the committee process right now, again, to make that statement. And while they won't go anywhere, it is an ongoing GOP talking point that says Wisconsin is one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. Thank goodness. I like living in a state that puts a priority on protecting children from exploitation and protecting employees and protecting the environment. It's what makes Wisconsin such a great state to live in. And what say we not go backwards? We have got today's history lesson. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us in just a bit, starting with the singer and keyboardist for the group Chicago. On the way, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
There may be plenty of anxiety about where we're going to use all the milk that U.S. dairies are producing, but I'll tell you what, there's one category in Wisconsin that just can't keep up. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and this story takes us to western Wisconsin, where Westby Cooperative Creamery is now investing $14.1 million to modernize their facility and expand cottage cheese production. Emily Bielkowski is the sales and marketing manager at Westby Cooperative Creamery, and she says right now their goal, just trying to keep up with the surging demand.
The surge in demand for cottage cheese is attributed to some of the viral TikTok recipes and just increased consumer interest in high protein, healthy diets. The market is projected to keep growing. We're responding to that with a modernization project that will update our cottage cheese making facility in general. Right now, our orders are 15 to 20% more than we can produce. We are oversold at this time. So with this project, we'll be able to meet that demand.
Emily Bielkowski with the Westby Cooperative Creamery. She says right now the current cottage cheese capacity is sold, and they get contacted weekly by organizations looking for more. High protein and clean label food trends are here to stay, and Westby Cooperative Creamery wants to keep pace. Markets are next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Commodities cratered on Friday after discussions between the United States and China cratered. December new crop corn was down 5.25 cents at 413. November new crop beans down 15.5 at 10.06¾. July new crop wheat down 8¾ cents at 539.5. The November class 3 milk that goes into cheese finished 43 cents lower, 1621. Barrel cheese was down 3 at 171. 40-pound block cheese down 6 at 170. AA butter gained a quarter of a cent at 160.5. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain tonight, a low around 49. For Monday, sunshine, highs around 63. On Tuesday, chance of rain and a high around 57. Showers continue into Tuesday night and lows in the low 40s. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high around 60.
It's 48 at our studios.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinere is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This song never fails to put me in a better mood. It's just nice and upbeat. And it's Chicago. It's Beginnings. It was written by Robert Lamb, who turns 81 years old today. Songwriter, keyboardist. He wrote many of the band's biggest hits, including Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park, and more. He is one of three founding members still performing with the group that they founded back in 1967. Welcome to today's history lesson, where we are joined by the one and only Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Somebody's still recovering. You were not at the game yesterday. I was surprised to hear.
I was kind of planning to ride my bike there, because that is one of my favorite things in the world, is to ride my bike to Lambeau, tailgate, and then come home and listen. And I just wasn't feeling up to it. So we made soup instead and hung out with the boys.
You know what you should have done? You should have gone down the road just a little bit to where I was Friday to get roasted chicken at Schuster's in Denmark. Roasted chicken. Roasted chicken in Northeast Wisconsin ain't nothing like it.
I still don't really know what broasted means. It's broiled. It's roasted. It's a
different kind of invention. A lot of people kind of refer to it as a Nesco as well, but it is something where you are essentially pressure cooking it and baking it at the same time. In other words, you need it. You need a special piece of machinery. You can't just call something broasted. You have to use an actual broaster. And if you do it, and if you do it right, it is the best chicken that you will ever have. And you get that with some mashed potatoes and gravy and some kneecaps. You know, not the kind that you're recovering from, Kristen, but the little pastries. Basically, it's a little mini
donut. That's a very Denmark thing.
It's a very Northeast Wisconsin thing, except it's not a mini donut. There's just an indentation, not a hole. And you put powdered sugar and whipped cream on that. And, oh, my goodness, so good. So good. Anyway, let's get back to today's history lesson, because I'm making myself hungry. And this one is just for Alicia, who really liked the last segment, saying, I could not have said it better, Pat. Well, Alicia, this is for you. On this day in 1775, the Continental Congress established the Continental Navy, predecessor of today's United States Navy.
Alicia, of course, a proud Navy veteran, like so many other folks out there. So, you know, so much respect from us, the people who you have served and fought for. Not so much from the federal government, who has a lot of lip service, but not actual, support.
Including not actual paychecks like right now. But happy 250th birthday to the United States Navy. On this day in 1792 in Washington, D.C., the cornerstone was laid for what was then called the Executive Mansion, later known as the White House. Again, this day in 1792. Happy birthday to singer Paul Simon. He is 84 years old today.
Do you have a favorite Paul Simon song?
Do I have a favorite Paul Simon song? Oh, gosh. Good question. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard comes to mind. Mm-hmm. There's so much. I mean, either with a guy named Art Garfunkel, who is a pretty good singer in his own right. And then he had such a great solo career. But this would also be in the top two or three, Kodachrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of baseball notes here. On this day in 1903, the Boston Red Sox won the first modern World Series, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates in the eighth game of what was then a best 5-of-9 series.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It used to be stupidly long.
Stupidly long. there are some people that will tell you 7 games is stupidly long to them, but you know. It's better than those stupid 1-game playoffs. But yeah, best of 9 might be a bit much. Another baseball note. On this day in 1969, Billy Martin was fired as manager of the Minnesota Twins. Keep in mind, the Minnesota Twins had just won the division with 97 victories, but they were eliminated in the postseason by the Baltimore Orioles, and the team owner, Calvin Griffith, finally had enough of Billy's volatile personality and fired the guy that had just won them a division.
That sounds like a Minnesota sports move. Just saying.
It sounds like a Billy Martin move, who I get years later would be at a bar in the Twin Cities. I think he was managing the Yankees at the time and got in a fight with a marshmallow salesman in a hotel bar.
Oh, my God.
He had a way.
Yes. I miss those days of, like, you just hear about the ballplayers at the bar after the game. I wish we still got those stories.
I know there are a couple of bars around Green Bay, one or two that are still operating, that were operating back in, you know, the glory days of the 60s.
Yeah.
And there are stories that can be told, and there are stories that cannot be told about the things that went on at some of those local watering holes. Happy birthday to singer Sammy Hagar. He is 68 years old today.
He seems like he should be older or dead. Either one.
Jeez.
Again, I mean, phrase, ridden hard and put away wet would be Sammy Hagar, who still can't drive 55. He'd rather drive his age, which is now 68 years old today. All right. One of those stupidly easy pop quizzes, I hope, for Parker here. Hunter and businessman Leonwood Bean was born this day in 1872. What business did Leonwood Bean begin?
If it's not L.L. Bean, I'm going to be really mad.
It is L.L. Bean. So
okay,
congratulations on that. Yes. Singer Little Marie Osmond. She is a senior citizen today, 65 years old.
She's a little bit country.
And a little bit rock and roll. Sacha Baron Cohen is 54 years old today. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 36 years old today. All right, I am happy to say that last night I finally finished the, like, 5+ hour Billy Joel documentary.
It's good, isn't it?
Just to tell you that on this day in 1978, Billy Joel's 6th studio album was released. It was entitled 52nd Street. It would go on to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
We all know these songs. We know all of these songs.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
There was Big Shot, Honesty, My Life, Rosalinda's Eyes. And so back to the documentary. I promised Greg Bach that we would use Friday's history lesson this week, and it would basically just be a Billy Joel appreciation segment. But I'm going to tell you anyway here on this Monday as well. You have until Friday now to go watch it. I watched it on the HBO Max app. It is just so good.
And it's so real. Like, it doesn't gloss over, like, his mental health struggles and his... I mean, Christie Brinkley on the brink of tears as she's talking about their marriage.
Oh. It's not a lot of people can get all 4 of their wives or ex-wives to appear in a documentary and speak from the heart about how much they still love him, but, you know, there were the demons... Mm-hmm. And the same goes with band members, you know, who've been with him for literally decades. But again, as somebody who just loves great songwriting, the what do they call it? The beautiful torture that you go through writing what you hope is a hit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're just writing from the heart. And then his whole struggles with his early childhood and, you know, his father and everything else just makes it such a well done documentary. So, again,
I love it when they tell the full story, because then it really gives you the insight to who this person is and where their artistic fire mm-hmm. comes from.
Oh, and I loved when he was talking about, meeting Christie Brinkley for the first time, at a bar in the Caribbean. And it was her and Elle McPherson and another model who was a surprisingly good singer by the name of Whitney Houston. Like, what? What? where did that come from? I have to make a correction here. There is a reason Sammy Hagar looks 10 years older. He actually is 10 years older. Troy and Madison points out that I'm an idiot at math, and he is 78 years old, not 68. Troy says, I was at his 60th party 18 years ago.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Rock on, Troy.
I know. Now, that's a story. Now that you know how to use the text line or use
the
voice
picture,
I want to hear some of those stories. Exactly. So, anyway, so Sammy Hagar, yes, I'm looking at the math here, 78 years old today. All right, on this day in 1979, the number one song was by Michael Jackson.
Now I'm feeling a little bit better.
I know.
Want to get up and dance.
Well, and again, people of a certain age go, oh, yeah, that's from Off the Wall. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was the first track from his solo Off the Wall, the first where he had creative control of his music rather than the people who were doing the music for the Jackson 5. And it would be the first of four singles off that album and really launch his grown-up career, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1983, the first cellular network in the country was launched in the Chicago area by Ameritech. That particular network is now part of Verizon. On this day,
wait a minute. Did you have one of those giant brick phones?
I did. Yes, and it was so cool. It's like, look, I'm talking on a cellular phone, holding up this brick to your head. It was so, and you thought that was the ultimate. It's never going to get better than this. You can take the phone with you. Mm-hmm. It did get better. It was still pretty cool. That was 1983. In 1984, the number one song was by Stevie Wonder. I just called
to say. Did that ever inspire you to call Sherry and be like, I'm having a moment right now, Sherry. I'm
aww.
Just calling to say I love you.
Yeah, but it wasn't that song, but I'm sure there were others. This was from the soundtrack of the movie The Woman in Red back in 1984. On this day in 2008, 5 months after marrying Jay-Z, Beyoncé released a sassy song about it.
Y'all miss Pat doing his little hand flip.
Do a little hand thing. That's right. Yep.
I didn't even see it.
I can't do the other part where you're like, moving your arms and it's.
You could, I think.
I could.
A little practice.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or I could. Could we do this tomorrow?
Fall down and
I think we can do this.
Yep. Yep.
I'll train him up.
It would be the number one song for 4 weeks and win the Grammy for Song of the Year again back in 2008. A story that had a happy ending, a mining accident in Chile this week in 2010, came to a happy ending as all 33 miners who had been buried underground for 69 days arrived safely at the surface. What an amazing rescue. And I brought that up because I'm sure we have all forgotten about it, but we needed that moment to remember something good that happened in the news. And that happened this week in 2010.
Amazing. It would be amazing to talk with them about, like, it's been 15 years now.
Yeah.
So what was that like in retrospect and how did that change their lives?
I remember, I don't know how long ago now, 2-3 years ago, reading an article about it and how everybody was doing surprisingly well, except for like one person who never truly recovered from like their PTSD of dealing with it, Mm-hmm. But again, by and large, a happy story. And on this day in 2016, Bob Dylan was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, a category with winners like John Steinbeck and William Faulkner. The award was given for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition, to which I would respond, how do you know? You have to be able to hear them. Yeah. There is today's history lesson. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will talk to Kristen more about the government shutdown. Because, I mean, after all, what good is running the government if you can't, fire the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks? Little things like that. That's coming up after the news live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today is a holiday for some, Indigenous Peoples Day, including at Courier Newsroom. So no daily newsletter today, but it will resume tomorrow. And you can sign up for our newsletter by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. Kristen Lyerly continuing in with us now and her ongoing attempt to be interviewed by every media outlet on planet Earth, most recently from former Hardball host Chris Matthews.
Bill Hardball host. He's just on Substack now instead of MSNBC.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, looking through social media and there's you and Chris Matthews talking away.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
We covered everything from RFK Jr. and what's happening with our healthcare infrastructure to his prostate cancer treatment and his grandchildren. It was wonderful.
Wow. Okay. where did you go on RFK? I mean, I suppose it's everything that we've already touched on here.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he is so steeped in politics, but he's obviously very concerned about what's happening with RFK and whether some of the moves that he's making really are for the good of the public health. And, you know, clearly he understands that they're not. I understand that they're not. So we talked about Tylenol in pregnancy and how there is no causal link between Tylenol and autism in pregnant women. We talked about the vaccine schedule and how RFK has fired all of the experts who sit on the ACIP, which is the board that recommends, it looks at all of the data for all of the vaccines, including the VAERS reports, including all of the VAERS reports are the adverse reports that people submit, all of the new research that's coming in to change the vaccine schedule. All of those experts are gone. Now that is a politically motivated body. You know, we talked about kind of everything health related, the STI recommendations, sexually transmitted infections, recommendations for managing people with complicated health histories. We often need a little bit of help determining what kind of contraception is safe for them because it's not safe for everybody in every situation. So you have to really tailor your care to your patients always. So a lot of those resources are housed at the CDC. And when the CDC does not have people, it does not have experts in non-political positions, it is really hard for doctors like me practicing in places like Wisconsin to be able to get the information I need to be able to take care of my patients.
The headline from Chris Matthews, and by the way, you can find it at thechrismatthews.substack.com. The title of the episode is Hardball with Chris Matthews, Michael Hill, and Paging America's Dr. Kristen Lierley. Yeah. Have we talked about Paging America?
Paging America is a podcast that the Committee to Protect Healthcare does, and I'm a frequent guest, but it's typically Miles Baker, who's the chief of staff for the organization, and then executive director Rob Davidson. This is the Committee to Protect Healthcare is an organization of over 40,000 doctors in every state, all different specialties that focus our energy on our patients and where we can get our wins and how we can actually move health policy forward to make a difference. So we've worked on reproductive rights, definitely. We've been involved in the ballot initiatives all across the country in Ohio and Florida and everywhere. We've worked on lowering drug prices in places like Minnesota, where they were able to institute a board to look at all of the drug prices and make sure that the pricing was appropriate and people, corporations couldn't run away with huge prices that patients couldn't afford. So it's really patient-facing advocacy work, and Paging America is kind of the doctor perspective. They've got a really cool episode coming up probably this week with former CDC executive Dimitri, I'm going to mess his name up because it's a super Greek name, Dasikalis, I believe. He's one of the CDC folks who left during the original purge and is now speaking out about how dangerous this is for the public health infrastructure here in the U.S.
So that's on Chris Matthews' Hardball that you can find on Substack. We'll talk about Kristen's own weekend show coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Tony asks on YouTube, what doesn't Kristen do? And then a moment later, he answered his own question. Oh, right, marathons. Never mind.
Right, so. Yeah, marathons are out.
All right, and then finally, Parker's going to share with us what's on the calendar for today. I'll kick off the first one because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Day. And so this is where, again, listen to the doctor as we talk about the need to catch breast cancer early.
Yeah, we need to ensure that everybody has access to screening, and not just screening. That's mammogram screening. It's talking with your doctor about your risks. Everybody has a different risk profile. So it's really important to know, do you have an elevated risk of breast cancer? But it also means being able to get access to what happens after the screening. If you do have an elevated risk, if you do have a mammogram that has a suspicious finding, you need to be able to get the follow-up studies. And many people can't afford that. That is one of the most frustrating things for me as a physician, and certainly for my patients, when they're looking at their own personal information and trying to figure out, how am I going to pay for that additional ultrasound or mm-hmm. other imaging study that I know I need, but I can't afford? Yeah. We can do better. And breast cancer affects 1 in 8 women in this country, and it affects men too. So this is something where we absolutely, as a country, can do better.
All right. Parker, it's also a holiday today.
Yes, it is. It is. Where are we? There we are.
The one that says Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah. Well, you said Indigenous Peoples Day already. So
Okay. I bring it up again just to note that, again, it's not to people go, oh, you're anti-Italian, anti-Columbus. No. This is about Columbus, the the slaveholder and the colonial conquest, bringing diseases all around the world, which of course means that Donald Trump praised him up and down the other day, essentially revoking Indigenous Peoples Day and redeclaring the day as Columbus Day, and saying things that were just, shall we say, well, the things your crazy uncle would say at Thanksgiving.
Isn't it ironic? Like, Columbus actually brought the immigrants here.
And... Yes. it was on Saturday Night Live on the Weekend Update. They're like, the irony that nobody has been more responsible for bringing Hispanics to North America than Christopher Columbus.
Time has passed.
It's people don't like the immigrants of this time. You know, they go back and go, oh, I can't believe anybody discriminated against the Irish. Really? Talk to some of the Irish and how their folks were treated. You know?
Germans. I mean, my grandpa's stories. Yes.
Right. On and on it goes. All right. Much more after the news here on these Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson a little later on in the program as well. Stick around.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. It's been a day of joy in Israel as all 20 living hostages were returned by Hamas under the terms of a peace agreement. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking to Parliament, called President Trump the greatest friend Israel's ever had in the White House. The president, right now addressing the Israeli Parliament, said,
"The sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity."
The future will be the topic of a peace summit in Egypt later today. President Trump will be a co-chair, but ABC's James Longman's there and says,
"The next stage will be even more difficult because this 20-point plan is the deal that he wants. Donald Trump often talks deals into existence. It's the end point. How we get there, though, that's going to be difficult. How will Hamas disarm?"
This is ABC News.